For the first time, possibly ever, I am sharing the feelings of bitterness and outrage that is prevalent throughout the mainstream media this morning, but there's a huge difference as to why I am bitter and why the media is bitter. I have a reason to be outraged. I have a reason to be angry. Over the past week or so, I have watched one of the most promising seasons in the history of the Pelicans franchise vanish in the span of about 7 days. Pelicans head coach Willie Green, he absolutely sucks at a lot of things, but this dude is one hell of a magician. He has this unique ability to take a talented but poorly constructed roster, and Willie Green, he has this unique ability to make all the talent disappear. I could sit here for the next hour, maybe even 2 hours, and torch Willie Green in this unserious Pelicans franchise, but I know you guys don't want to hear that. The way I'm feeling right now, it would make for a classic video, but the Pelicans are so irrelevant nationally, I don't think anyone would be interested. And by the way, I'm sure you guys have noticed the change in scenery behind me. I have replaced my Pelicans gear with a picture of Bomani Jones. I figured after last night, if the Pelicans are going to be a huge embarrassing failure, why not just put the original huge embarrassing failure on the shelf behind me? Why would I keep the imposters on the shelf when I could have a picture of the original? All right, let's get to what happened in the women's Final Four last night. One more thing, though. One more thing before we get started. The channel eclipsed 90,000 subscribers at some point in the last day or so. All my subscribers and daily viewers, stay tuned through the end of this video. I want to thank you guys for getting me to this point. You know, it is incredibly difficult to be rational, to be logical when you are overcome with emotion. Emotion is very powerful. It can cloud your judgment, cause you to be completely unreasonable. Add emotion to this victim mentality that seems to be prevalent throughout the media, and you have a recipe for disaster, which is exactly what happened last night during the closing moments of the Final Four between UConn and Caitlin Clark and the group of role players from Iowa. The irrational accusations, they were all over social media. This is bullshit! The NCAA is rigged! They gave this game to Katie Rue Clark. They knew ratings would be in the pooper if Katie Rue wasn't playing in the national championship on Sunday. Yeah, that's partially true. If UConn won that game last night, it could have been a potentially embarrassing situation for women's basketball. They would have been in a situation where the Elite Eight, the Final Four, pulled exponentially higher ratings in the national championship. Luckily, though, for the NCAA, they were able to escape that potential embarrassment temporarily. I hope everyone involved in women's college basketball is enjoying this mainstream attention and exposure while they can, because as soon as the final buzzer sounds on Sunday and Caitlin Clark grabs the hard hat and steel-toed boots in preparation to enter the WNBA dump, ratings for women's college basketball, they are going to return to normal. But that's a topic for another video. That game last night between UConn and Iowa, that game was incredible. Now, I couldn't fully enjoy it because I was so pissed off with my Pelicans, but these young women, they once again reminded me why the NBA sucks. That game was real basketball. Both teams playing with passion, both teams fighting their asses off to make it to the national championship. We should be celebrating these young women this morning. We should be looking forward to the national championship game on Sunday. Instead, there are no celebrations because the mainstream media, they are too busy turning UConn into the ultimate victims. With less than 30 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, UConn, they had the ball trailing by 1 point. Now, if I remember correctly, I think UConn was running a set play out of a timeout. They were trying to get the ball to Paige Buchers or Paige Buckers. Paige, whatever the fuck. Every time I mispronounce her name, someone tells me I'm pronouncing it wrong. I'll just go with Diamond Dallas Paige, much easier to pronounce. UConn, they were trying to get the ball to DDP. She was trying to go around a screen that appears to have been set by the masked Avenger. Poor girl from Iowa, she didn't have a chance. If I was responsible for trying to run through that screen, my ass would have just ran in the opposite direction. Officials, they blow the whistle, they call UConn for a moving screen. Game over. Cue the fake outrage from the media. Someone named Andrea Carter, she was covering the game for ESPN. She claimed that this call by the officials absolutely sucked. Now, when I initially saw the clip, I thought she was describing ESPN's coverage of sports. ESPN's coverage of the NBA absolutely sucks. Their coverage of the NFL absolutely sucks. Their coverage of Major League Baseball would suck if it existed. Andrea Carter. She wasn't describing ESPN's coverage of sports. She was describing the officiating late in the game. Chase Daniel, former backup quarterback for my Saints, he claimed that this illegal screen wasn't a foul. Pretty sure illegal screens are fouls. Otherwise, they wouldn't be described as illegal. Others in the media claim that the officials should not make a call like that in the final seconds of a close game. But it's strange. It's strange. I've yet to see a single person in the media criticize UConn for setting an illegal screen. If Iowa fouled Paige Buechers and the game was decided at the free throw line, would the media criticize that call? If Caitlin Clark hit her arm and altered the shot and UConn won the game at the free throw line, would there be this same level of outrage? No, but when UConn sets a moving screen, the expectation from the media is for the officials to ignore it. The problem with all this outrage in the media, the officials actually got the call right. Check it out for yourself. Now, as you can see, the masked Avenger is clearly moving. For a brief moment, I guess she forgot that she was in a professional women's basketball game, and she thought that she was in a professional wrestling match. Looks like she was trying to tag her partner into the match, or she was trying to clothesline her opponent. Either way, it was a foul. Not according to Swin Cash, though. No! KC, who in the hell is Swin Cash? Swin Cash is what the mainstream media likes to call a WNBA legend. Now, according to her, the official who made the correct call last night should never be allowed to work another game in the Final Four. Check it out for yourself. Now, this is a prime example of what I'm talking about. This is a prime example of someone allowing emotion to cloud their judgment. Imagine my surprise when I found out that Swin Cash played basketball at UConn. I wonder why she feels this way. She's complaining that the players weren't allowed to decide the outcome of the game. The players did decide the outcome of the game. The masked Avenger set an illegal screen and lost her team the game. She's not a victim of bad officiating. She's just a young woman who made a mistake in the most critical moment of the game. I'm sure she feels awful about it, but it doesn't make UConn the victims of poor officiating. I was also surprised to find out that Swin Cash is the vice president of basketball operations for my New Orleans Pelicans. The same New Orleans Pelicans who have squandered their season in the last 7 days. Instead of complaining about the officiating in women's college basketball, I wish Swin Cash would complain about the incompetence of Willie Green. Angel Reese, she claimed that this screen was perfectly legal. Kelsey Plum, lead plumber in the WNBA dump, she claimed it was wrong for officials to make the call in the final seconds of the Final Four. Now, all these people who were supposedly experts in basketball, all these people blinded by emotion. Last night, ESPN2 had a simulcast of the game. The broadcast featured one of our favorites here on the channel, the legendary Sue Bird, the woman responsible for cohabitating the nest with the insufferable Megan Rapinoe. It also featured someone named Diana Taurasi. Who cares? Most people couldn't identify her in a one-photo lineup. They were discussing who should be the first player selected in the WNBA draft, who should be given the distinct honor of riding shotgun in the garbage truck during their rookie season, Caitlin Clark or DDP. Now, the answer is obvious, right? Not according to Donna Taurasi. Watch for yourself.
I'm taking Paige. Next question. So you get the number one pick this year, you would take Paige over Caitlin.
Absolutely.
Is it any wonder why the WNBA is struggling? You've got a cash cow in Caitlin Clark, the only woman in the history of the WNBA who has even a remote chance of making the dump relevant. And Diana Taurasi would pass her up for Paige Buckner? No wonder this league has never turned a profit. No wonder they can't afford to fly coach during away games. They know nothing about business. Credit to the Sue Bird, though. She actually explained why you have to take Caitlin Clark over everyone else in the draft because it makes business sense. I don't care if Prime Shaq put on a dress and was available in the WNBA draft. You gotta take Caitlin Clark. I'm telling you, I think it's going to be a difficult transition for Caitlin Clark going from Iowa to the WNBA. If she succeeds and makes the dump relevant, the media, they are going to accuse the country of racism. The mainstream media will claim that the only reason people are now watching the WNBA is because a white Christian young woman from Iowa, or what the media would call a white Christian nationalist, captured the attention of America. If Caitlin Clark continues the tradition of embarrassing failure in the WNBA, she will be called a bust. This is their last chance at relevance. If the WNBA can't find a way to generate mainstream interest with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, it is never going to happen. All right, before I get out of here, I wanted to take a second. Thank you, guys. Channel surpassed 90,000 subscribers, less than 10,000 away from passing 100,000. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your support every day. When I started this channel, I didn't think I would ever reach 100,000 subscribers. I just wanted 50,000. I figured at 50,000 subs, I would be able to quit my job and make a decent living. 3 years ago, April 2021, I had 1,500 subscribers. It is amazing how far we have come in the last 3 years. Some of you guys, you have been with me from the very beginning. I appreciate your loyalty. I don't know what drew you in during the beginning stages of this channel because I sucked. The other day, I went back and watched some older videos from 2021. I was terrible. I have come a long way in the last 3 years, but none of this would be possible without you guys showing up every day. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you allowing me to live my dream. Now, I am still as hungry as I was when I started the channel. The one thing that keeps me going, other than the fact that I love doing this, I would do this for free. Hell, for the longest time, I was doing this for free. But the one thing that keeps me going is the realization that this could all disappear tomorrow. I never take this for granted. I never take you guys for granted. I put my all into this every day because, well, for one, it's my way of showing appreciation for you guys. And number two, I never want this to go away. I am as motivated as I have ever been because after 3 years of not having a job, after 3 years of not answering to anyone but this audience, I don't think I could go back to a real job. And that's all the motivation I need, so thank you. Here in the next week or two, I'm going to be launching memberships here on the channel. Also been working on merch for the last 3 months, almost ready to launch the merch. Had a meeting with my designers yesterday. The site has already been built. Merch has been designed. We're just working on a couple of minor details, and after we get those worked out, the merch will be available to you guys. They designed this Joe Biden shirt that I think you guys are going to like. Got some coffee mugs and some dry fit shirts like I wear every day. A lot of you guys have reached out to me asking where I get all my shirts, so I just decided to design my own. Be on the lookout for all that. I hope to have all this done by the end of April. Channel memberships, they should be ready to go by next week. In the meantime, though, give me your thoughts on the overreaction last night to the officials making the correct call. I'll see you guys tomorrow.